Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin and set me free. I pray thee, Lord, for cleansing me. Fulfill thy word and make me pure. Fill me with fire where once I burned with shame. Grant my desire to magnify thy name. Comes from thee. Sent a revival, start the work in me. Thy word declares thou wilt supply our needs. For blessings now, O Lord, I humbly plead. For take my
Thank you, ladies. All right, did you get a handout tonight? Did everybody get? Did someone not get one of our sheets? Raise your hand and we'll get one to you. Anybody at all? Good. Ushers are doing their job. They're worth every penny we pay them, which isn't much. Proverbs chapter 1 and verse 7, you see the verse there. We're looking at the book of Proverbs. And for several weeks, we've been looking at the wise man, and we're going to finish that up today. As we've mentioned on many occasions, Proverbs 1:7. Is really the key verse of the book. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. And the book of Proverbs is all about wisdom, learning God's wisdom, which is God's word, which we put into practice into our life. The importance of wisdom is stated in one of the other key verses of Proverbs. Wisdom is the principal thing, primary, number one, of great importance. Therefore, get wisdom. And with all thy getting, get understanding. With everything that is in us as a Christian, we are supposed to get God's wisdom. Understand his word and put it into practice in our life. As we have mentioned already, wisdom has nothing to do with your IQ. Amen? If it did, you all would be in trouble, all right? Some of us would be okay. But it has nothing to do with your IQ, so it's just doing what God says. I'm going to read these for you. Previously, here's what we've looked at. You can look at them later. I think the messages are online if you're interested in any of it. A wise person is deeply aware of the fact that they are accountable to God for all they say, do, and think. You can read the verses. That's basically the fear of the Lord. The wise person has the ability to get along with people. You can tell how wise you are by how well you get along with others. That could be a blessing or a curse. Let's move on. Number three. The wise person desires wisdom enough to avoid anything or anyone that will keep them from it. Number four, the wise person has a sincere love and appreciation for those who care enough to reprove them, show them areas of their life where they are not right. The wise person is a blessing to their parents. Number six, The wise person doesn't live for the now. They plan and look ahead. Number seven, the wise person is willing to submit to their authorities in their life, their God-given authorities. Number eight, the wise person is a lifelong learner. He never arrives. Number nine, we should just skip that one. That's a struggle for everybody. The wise person has the ability to control their words. Ouch. Number 10, the wise person will win souls to Christ. I'm going to give you the last five tonight, and so let's get going here. Let's pray before we get started. I don't think we prayed yet. Father, we do thank you for loving us. Thank you for this evening, the time we have together to look at your word. I pray, Father, that you would help us as we finish looking at the wise man in Proverbs. And Lord, help us to just find these traits and do everything we can to put them in our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. By the way, we'll move on to, again, as I mentioned earlier, we haven't met for a few weeks when it comes to Proverbs, but Proverbs is dealt with best by subject, okay? It's not really a verse-by-verse study you can do. Some of the chapters you can do that, but really it's more subject-driven, so we'll start moving on to other areas starting next week. Okay, number 11, the wise person knows that he doesn't have all the answers and will seek godly counsel, okay? Wise person knows that he doesn't have all the answers and will seek godly counsel. Proverbs 12:15 says, the way of the fool is right in his own eyes. A fool is someone who despises and ignores God's principles. Everything that he does, he thinks he's right. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Okay? Now, if you've been around here any length of time, I'm for counsel. I'm not for counseling. I don't think we need constant meet with the pastor all the time. Now, there are some cases where something's going on in someone's life, they need to meet regularly. I understand that. But I think if we just seek to get God's wisdom and get in the Word of God, the amount of questions we have is going to be limited. I'll just be honest with you. And by the way, and I know others that say it, I don't think your pastor is your God. Okay? Listen, if you're buying a house, you don't need to come talk to me and ask me if I like your house. Because, my style house I may like may not be your style house. Now, if you want to come talk to me and we can look at your budget to make sure you can afford it, that's a different situation, okay? But, you know, you don't come to me and say, I'm thinking of buying a car. What do you think? I'm going to tell you one thing. Don't buy a Ford, okay? That's sin. That is absolute sin. Buy American, but consider Ford foreign. Just kidding. But let me just say this. On the other hand, I think if we never go to someone to talk to them about certain things to find out what God says about them, because we don't have all the answers. If you're making some type of big decision, you know, it's nice to run it by somebody. By the way, no one's your God, all right? We're not here to tell you, when to buckle your shoes, what to do. You buckle your shoes when you feel like it, okay? Should I have a dog or a cat? Have neither, whatever. But sometimes when you have a big decision, there's some things you might not have thought about. And it's nice to run it off somebody that maybe can say, did you consider this, okay? And things of that nature. So we need counsel. A wise man knows when he needs help. He doesn't just do what he feels is best. The fool does what is right in his own eyes. No one tells me what to do. I'm my own man. You're headed for a lot of trouble. No one's their own man. We need the word of God, and we need good godly people to help us. You ever see people, no trespassing signs, and they sneak around them, and bad things happen. Remember several years ago San Pedro, I think the field goal kicker for the University of Southern California was up there, and he was messing around, and he went over the fence where it said, do not go, and he fell over the cliff and killed himself, okay? He violated, a person that doesn't want counsel is like that. We don't want anybody telling us what to do. We just kind of doing our own thing, and we can get ourselves in trouble. I like this sign. I don't know if it relates, but I like it. We were in Big Bear for the couples retreat. We were walking through one of the buildings, and the sign said that every trip to the emergency room at the hospital begins with the phrase, dude, watch this, okay? That's because we're doing it. That usually means I'm going to do something very stupid right now, end up getting a broken leg. Now, where does the best counsel come from? Best counsel comes from God's word. By the way, the amount of counsel we need would be cut down drastically if we would get into God's word and get some wisdom. Okay, there are some, look, some people are so tied in. I've got to ask everybody everything. I can't think spiritually on my own. Listen, there's going to come a time when you don't have time to ask somebody, and you need to know what God says about something. Okay? And I know I don't do the lines where, yeah, if you want to talk, we'll have a line outside the door, because I know what happens. People just, well, I think I'll stop by and talk to you. Listen, I don't care about your cat. And now if you got an emergency, I'll do anything I can to help you. I'll do the best to point you in the right direction. But I think sometimes we just don't think for ourselves. And if we know the scripture, most of our questions would be answered. And so, but we do need counsel. I'm not against it, all right? I'm just, you know, we need to get it. We get counsel from God's word. How? As we read it personally, as we hear it taught, and as we talk with someone privately. When I was in Bible college, before the main service, they would have question and answer. They had a 5 o'clock hour, and it would be question and answer time, and then they would have the main service. So if someone wanted to just come ask, so people would come to the auditorium. A lot of times I didn't get there because we're on the bus route, but we would get there, and someone would raise their hand and say, you know, they'd ask a question about child rearing. And Brother Howells would say, have you ever read my book on how to raise children? Oh, I've read it. And he'd say, well, you know, on the fourth chapter there, I talked about that. Now, he would answer their question, but you know what he was saying in a nice way? You read the book, and you didn't get what I said in the book, so now you're going to ask me. Or he'd say, hey, remember the message we preached 2 weeks ago? Oh, yeah, I remember that. Well, in that message, I answered that question. I said this. That's how we are a lot of times with the Bible. We don't get it because we read it and we understand, but then it goes right out of our ear. And when it comes to a decision that would relate to that, we can't make that decision because we're not doing what we can to retain it. But we need to get God's word. Proverbs 11:14, the verse is there. It says, where no counsel is, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Okay? Maybe you're making some type of financial decision. You get someone that you know that's good and solid with finances, and they can see if that's a good deal for you. Just things like that. We need counselors. But when we don't have counsel, we get ourselves into trouble. Think of counsel like guidance. It's like a ship that would be sailing without any guidance. You just get out in the water and we just kind of, let's just go whatever way the wind carries us. You know where you're going to end up? You're probably going to end up on a jagged rock. We need guidance in our life. And that's where you get it. All of us need that. I know Ryan Rawl texted me a picture the other day, and it was a poster. It was a joke. And it said, children, are you sick of your parents telling you what to do? Act now. And then it had a 4-point outline. Move out. Get a job. Pay your own bills. And the last thing said, do it now while you still know everything. Okay? That's how we are, right? When we were teenagers, man, I knew a lot more than my parents ever knew. You know, the older I got, the more I realized I didn't know anything. But that's how we are sometimes with God. We all have blind spots and we don't see it. And we make decisions where somebody, now it could be a biblical blind spot. Sometimes we don't understand things. And, you know, I'm thinking of doing this. And it's like, somebody asked me to co-sign for them. Well, you know what the Bible says about that, right? The Bible says if you do that, you're going to smart for it. In other words, ouch. You know what's going to happen? You're going to end up paying for that thing. Okay, and so there's biblical principles, and sometimes we don't think of things, and we got to know what the Bible says. Or worst case, we know what it says, but we're not willing to listen like the fool. Do you know the space shuttle that blew up in 1986? It blew up because of a small little O-ring, which was like a little seal in one of the booster rockets. And when it blew up, they found out as they did some research that someone in the company, well before it blew up, had went to their management and said, listen, there's a flaw in this, and I feel that if the weather conditions are right, this could fail and be fatal. And it went to the top management, and they looked at it, and they said, we don't think it's that big a deal. Well, guess what happened after it blew up? They realized it was a big deal. That's, and we do that in our life. We kind of know the answers, and we don't want to listen. We always, by the way, it's human nature. We all know better. We know more than anybody, don't we? I mean, the smartest person in any room is us. We just think we know everything. Remember the guy? There was a guy named Harold. I heard of him. I checked him out. His name was Harry Truman. Harry Randall Truman, not the president. And he lived by Spirit Lake up in Washington. And when Mount St. Helens started having some issues, they were concerned it was going to blow up. And this guy became famous before it blew up because he wouldn't listen. And they came and gave interviews. He's like, I'm not moving. There's nothing dangerous here. Nothing's going to happen. And then they came to him as it started to get worse. And he said, listen, I live on the other side of the lake from where the mountain is. There's trees everywhere. I'm over a mile away. If it blows up, I'm going to be just fine. And when they came and told him, you need to evacuate, he said, no. You know what happened when it blew up? He disappeared. That lake he thought was a nice buffer between him and Mount St. Helens, it evaporated. It disappeared. And he didn't listen. They came and tried to help him, and he didn't listen. So often we do that in our lives spiritually. So make sure, if we're not sure about something, let's get counsel. What's the real purpose of counsel? Look at the verses in Exodus, and then we'll move to our next point. Exodus chapter 18. Now, the story is Moses and them had just come out of Egypt, and so they're traveling through the wilderness, and Moses would be like the judge. People would bring all their problems to him, and Moses' father-in-law realized that Moses couldn't do it himself. But in this, it states really what the purpose of counsel is. Verse 14 there, and when Moses' father-in-law saw all that he did to the people, he said, what is the thing that thou doest to the people? Why sittest thyself alone, and all the people stand by thee from morning to evening? He goes, hey, you're going to burn out here, basically. You need help. And Moses said unto his father-in-law, because the people come unto me to inquire of God. When they have a matter, they come unto me, and I judge between one and another. That's relationships. I help them in their relationships and things that are going on. If they can't get it together, if there's conflict, I'm going to help them with that. And then he gives one of the other purposes of counsel. And I do make them know the statutes of God and his law. He's telling them what they should do based on what God says they should do. That's what counsel is. Okay? Counsel is really, what are God's principles? What are some of the principles that apply to your specific situation to help you make a correct decision that God would want you to make? So, that's that. Number 12. The wise person is very careful about whom they associate with. Very careful. Proverbs 13:12 says this, and we've looked at this, I think, in some of our Sunday messages. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise, but a companion of fools shall be destroyed. God says if you're hanging around people that are wise, they're going to encourage you, and you'll become wise. But if you hang around with fools, you will have judgment in your life. All of us growing up knew someone we hung around with. When we hung around with them, we had a tendency to get in more trouble. How many of you had a friend like that? Okay, let me ask this question. How many of you were that friend? My mom didn't get it, and she's in heaven now, so she can hear this. But when she would tell me some of the guys, I don't want you hanging around with them. They're a bad influence for you. That was good for them. She didn't realize that they weren't the ones that they needed. I was the bad influence, but I acted like, yes, you're right. Bobby is so bad. I know he's bad. And it's like me corrupting Bobby, except for the Esposito boys downstairs. They corrupted everybody. But I could always blame it on them. That's Johnny. You know, John, right, Robert? Johnny was just, he's trouble. I blame it on him. My mom didn't get that. But that's what happens. We tend to become like those we hang around. We pick up their tendencies. So if we walk with wise individuals, that's our friends. That's our people that are close. They're going to encourage us and strengthen us and push us towards being a wiser individual. And the opposite is true. If we're around the wrong people, we're going to be judged. We'll be destroyed because we're going to be around people that they're not very interested in what God has to say. And that's going to rub off on us. And once we violate his principles, now we're the ones that are in trouble. I heard this in college many years ago. You will be the same person you are in 5 years, except for two things that influence you: the books you read and the people you hang around with. And that's very, very important. It's not just, look, we gravitate to those sometimes who we are like, instead of gravitating to those who are better for us. if I was a youth director and there was a couple teens in our group that were struggling, if I went and we went to a fellowship with another church group, and that church group had a couple of teenagers that were struggling, you know what would, now you'd call them rebels, oh, I'm going to be nice, struggling. You know what would happen within 10 minutes of our groups being together? Those kids that are struggling will find each other. They have that little radar. Doop, doop, doop. Bingo, that's my group. And the kids that are on target, they'll find the good kids in the group. Okay? If we're going to be wise, what we need to do is find someone that's where we want to be, and let's go and attach ourselves, and let's make them our friends and have them encourage us and lift us up to where we want to be. Look at Proverbs 22, verse 24 and 25. It kind of says the same principle here. Make no friendship with an angry man, and with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. By the way, I can tell what kind of person a person is based on who they spend their time with. Look, who are your friends? Not acquaintances. We all have acquaintances and so forth. Maybe you work somewhere and you have guys that you have to work with. And so, I'm talking about who you want to spend time with. If I see who you're spending time with, I see who you are or who you will become. And that's just the truth. But he also says here, why shouldn't we hang around with an angry person? Because it's going to rub off on us. We're going to learn their ways. The point of this proverb isn't that having an angry friend could be hurtful. The point is that when we're around angry people, they are influential. The same as the wise man is. And we need to be very careful. We learn by influence, and let me just say this. We also, in our lives, we lead others by influence. I would hope that I would not be the source of dragging somebody down, okay? I would hope that if someone's with me, you know, I'm not going to make them a worse Christian. And then you also have the influence of your family, okay? If you're a parent, the main influence of your children is going to be you. You know, look at kids, children, if your children, here's what you're going to say. I don't want to be like my mom, and I don't want to be like my dad. I want to be different, but guess what you're going to be like? You're going to be a lot like your mom, and you're going to be a lot like your dad. You're going to have their traits, especially if you have the right kind of family and you're together a lot. And this isn't spiritual, but how many remember that old song? There was an old song in the 70s, something about cats in the cradle. How many of you know I'm talking about? And how many, come on, who's heard that one? Backsliders. The whole song is this. I remember the song as a kid because even as a kid I got the message. And the guy says he's away and he's working, and next thing you know he has a kid, and he's not even there when the kid learns how to walk. And whenever he comes home, the kid goes, "Hey, Dad, let's play." And he's like, "Man, I don't have time right now, but someday, kid, we're going to get together and we're going to have a good time. We're going to have a good time together." And then this goes on. The kid's older and says, "Hey, you bought me a baseball. Let's go play baseball." And he says, "Hey, Dad." Dad says, "No, I don't have time right now for that. But, hey, someday when I'm not busy, we're going to play baseball. We're going to have a good time." And then the song switches gears. It says, "Hey, my son came home. He was at college, and he came home. And it's like, man, I'm proud of you. Can we spend some time together?" And the son says, "You know, I'm busy, Dad. Can I borrow the car? We'll get together some other time, Dad. And then when we get together, we'll have a really good time." And then finally, the kid moves away and has his own family. And the dad calls and says, "Hey, you know, can we spend some time together, son? I'd love to talk to you." And he goes, "Dad, I'm so glad to hear from you, but man, I'm busy with the kids. I just got a new job and I got to go, but we're going to get together someday and have a really good time." And the dad says, "You know what? My kid was just like me." Because the whole song, the kid said, "I want to be just like my dad." He goes, "Yep, he's just like me." That's frightening for our children. Okay, let's move on. Children, you can be better than your parents. But that we influence. But influence is there. And so let's pick our influence very, very carefully. Let's make sure who we allow to influence us. Number 13. The wise person has the proper response to sin. Here it is. They will fear it and flee from it. Fear it and flee from it. A wise man feareth and departeth from evil. But the fool rages and is confident. There are two ways you can act when you're faced with the prospect of temptation or you're put in a situation where you can do something wrong, your two options are this: flee from it, or you can go forward fearlessly and get yourself in trouble. The word there, rage is on, means to rush forward. The fool doesn't care. He goes through all the warning signs and just goes straight to it. But the wise man who wants to be wise says, there's something wrong here. I need to get myself out of this situation. Wise man realizes that the situation should not be messed with. The path of wisdom means that we are to evaluate potential dangers and we adjust our course to avoid them, not to proudly go through them. You don't overcome a sin by being constantly bombarded with it. You know, years ago we had someone, they were living together, and the guy knew it wasn't right, and it's like, you know, and we're gonna split up and we're gonna do the right thing, and then it's like, then I just sleeping on the couch. Yeah, we all are. Okay. Listen, that's like saying, I want to give up drinking. You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna go hang out at the bar. How many of you think that'd be a good idea? You know what? I don't want to eat candy anymore. I'm going to C's. You know? I'm trying to cut back on my eating. I'm going to go to the buffet. Who said let's do it? Yeah, figures. But that's what we do. We have to understand when we're in a situation that it could put us in a situation where we could do something that's sinful or wrong, and we get away. We get out of there. Be fearful of it. The Bible tells us the best response is to flee. Look at the verse in New Testament. Speaking of Timothy, who was a pastor, but it's good for all of us, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness. Flee. Get away from it. You can't handle it. By the way, if someone says, I can handle it, no, you can't. By the way, I'll throw this out. We haven't mentioned it in a while, but just give me 1 minute, and then you can tune out, and then you can tune back in. Your children shouldn't have cell phones. It's too much temptation. They're not ready. Look at, you know what I think about sometimes? Because I was your typical unsaved, godless teen. I'm thinking, you know how worse it would have been if I had a cell phone? You know how worse it would have been? I mean, listen, if I wanted to do wrong, it took a little effort. But it's so much easier today. Yeah, it's and so we need to be very careful. Well, you know, I trust my little boo-boo. He has a computer in his room. You better not have internet access. If you have a computer, put it in the middle where everybody sees it. You got to be very, very careful. Why? Youthful lust. Oh, they got to learn how to be strong. They're not strong enough. Okay? They have to grow to that maturity level. By the way, we're not strong enough. Come on, let's snap out of it. My children, get out of here. We're not. So be very, very careful. Help them out with that. But anyhow, flee. You know what the perfect example is Joseph. Look at Proverbs, Genesis 39, the verses there. And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her, to be with her. Potiphar's wife was hitting on him. And by the way, you know what temptation is. I'm sure she was beautiful and all that. And by the way, that was a perfect temptation for Joseph. He's away from his family. He's very lonely. He's just with a bunch of people he doesn't know. That would be a perfect temptation for him. Perfect. By the way, no one's going to know. And so she's throwing herself at him day by day. That he hearkened not unto her to lie with her, to be with her. He's like, I'm avoiding this girl. I won't call her a girl, I'll call her a witch. It came to pass about that time that Joseph went in the house to do his business. He was in charge for Potiphar. And there was none of the men of the house that were within. Uh-oh, he's not in there to hit on her, okay? He's just doing what he's supposed to be doing. And in the course of time, there's no one around. He's like, it was accidental, I'm sure. And it's like, whoa, here she comes. And she caught him by his garment, saying, lie with me. And she wasn't talking about not telling the truth, okay? And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. You know what he said? He didn't sit there and why she's close to him and say, well, let's discuss this. Because once you discuss it, you lose. Emotions take over. Game, set, match. He's like, you like the coat? It's yours. Okay? And he's like, he jumps out of his coat, takes off. Says, I'm not going to be in the house with you alone. We're done. Okay? That's common sense. And by the way, he did it another reason. We don't put the verse down here because he said, how can I do this wickedness against God? He feared God. Fear, flee. Fear, flee. So let's make sure we do that. See, we all think we are strong enough to overcome. Look, big problems start small and innocently. Anybody that's ever had an affair, it doesn't start like, you know, I just met her one day and next thing you know, bad things were happening. Doesn't start like that. You're at work and some guy makes little comments to you, joke around a little bit, nothing serious. The next day, jokes around, and then, hey, there's a little bit of flirtation there. Then maybe text or email, and it's nothing serious, but there's joking back and forth. And then one day, the joke gets a little bit off color. The comment's a little bit out of line. By the way, the first time the guy talks to you, the word, you drop dead. I'll discuss that with my husband. Okay? Some guy at work is messing around and trying to do that stuff, and you're not fine. What you do is, first of all, say, you do that again, I'm going to go to the boss, and my husband will be down here. And he won't be down here to witness, okay? You got to stop it right away. We let it go on. I saw one time, it was a documentary about that big, it was that oversized lizard, is it Komodo dragon? Yeah, and so what this, he's going after a wildebeest. Now, a wildebeest is huge. It's like a cow on steroids. And he's huge. And this dragon can't take him down. But what he did is he kind of just, you know, he slowly got up there when he was drinking and gave him a little bite on the shin. Komodo dragon's like, Well, he didn't realize that was poison. Now, it took a while. It takes like 3 or 4 days. That Komodo dragon just follows him down for several days. And he starts to slow down because of the poison. And he gives him another bite here and there. Next thing you know, they're having dinner. That's what happens to us if we don't flee at that first time. We're staying close by there. We could get caught up in it, and then we're in the web and we're done. Number 14. The wise person's work ethic and character drives their success and promotion. Proverbs said, "A wise servant shall have rule over a son that causeth shame, and shall have part of the inheritance among the brethren." There's a comparison here, okay? The comparison is this guy works for the family as a servant, but he's wise. There's a son in the home who is not wise. He causes shame. You know who gets the inheritance and you know who rules? The servant who's not even part of the family. Because of his work ethic, he's bonded to that family. And the son over here has no character, and that's the picture he's giving there. He can flourish in situations where others would have an advantage they wouldn't have. Why? Because they have a work ethic, and they have character, and they have wisdom. Think of it in the Bible. Why? Joseph was a slave bought by Potiphar. It wasn't long before he was ruling the house. Then he gets sent off to jail. It isn't long before he's running the jail. Then, next thing you know, he's vice president of Egypt. How'd that all happen? Because he was a wise man. Look at Daniel. Daniel was taken as a captive into Babylon. He worked under many different rulers. Fact of the matter is, he worked under other kingdoms. The Babylonian kingdom was overcome. But no matter who he worked for, Daniel was always one of the top guys. Even though he wasn't even part of their country. Why? Wisdom, hard worker. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, Daniel's friends, same thing. You read the book of Esther. Esther's the same thing. They're in captivity. Her uncle is Mordecai. Mordecai, he ends up being one of the guys in charge. That's how it always works. A little character, a little discipline, a little bit of wisdom goes a long, long way. We like to whine. Well, the reason I didn't get that promotion is this. No, the reason you didn't get that promotion is probably because you don't work very hard. Or you work hard, but someone worked harder. But we always have to blame it on someone else, don't we? They're after me. Listen, just be the best Christian you can be. I was going to say, let the chips fall where they may, but that's a bad example. And let happen what's going to happen. God's in control. Number 15, the last one here. We have 2 minutes. The wise person will have zero tolerance for wicked behavior being near them. A wise king scattereth the wicked and bringeth the weal over them. Now in this picture here, that's the sense of the king, he would have the interest of the kingdom as a whole to think of. And the king, and he wants the kingdom, he wants calm, he wants peace. He wants to be the one in charge, and he's not going to let nonsense go on. He's going to squelch it. I wish we had that kind of mentality in our society. The king's not going to let wickedness run rampant. That's not good for him. Makes it harder for him to rule. Now, in our society, we let wickedness run rampant. The only bad people on our side are the people that stand up and say that something's wrong. It's kind of ridiculous. But the same is true with us. Listen, don't let wickedness go unchecked. Okay? If you have anything to say about it, say no. Say, well, I have relatives over my house, and they do this, this, and this. Kindly say we don't do that here. Now, I'm not saying be rude, you know, okay, you come to my house, let me point out, did you see the sign, 10 rules, okay, they're unsaved, I get it, but you know what I'm talking, they're going to, no, look, if my relatives come to my house, they ain't drinking at my house, I brought alcohol, you ain't bringing it in, not in my house, wait, you know, oh, but they might think that I'm being a bad, by the way, my relatives all know, they wouldn't do that, but I'm not going to, it's, if I go to their house or something and a party were to bust out, hey, I'm glad I could come for a few minutes. I'm leaving. Okay? It's just when you tolerate it, it's like temptation. The more you tolerate it, the more accustomed you become to it, the more numb you become to it, and the more it becomes normal to you. And I'm not saying get up on a soapbox and be rude to people. That's not the point. Don't take it that way. I'm just saying, you know, well, you know, there's nonsense. The kids are doing nonsense. Don't let it. By the way, you know, parents run the home. Well, you know, I'll let my kid, you know, he's two. You don't have a two-year-old. What do you want to wear today? You know what you wear? What mom said? You can all you want. One of our kids, when little girl, when she was younger, she decided that she just didn't want to wear certain socks. Like, we're not going through a battle. You're wearing those socks, and you'll cry, and you'll get, and it's over. But you know, we just be in charge. You know, well, the kids, you know, I mean, I know this, but the kids just kind of do what they want. My kids can do whatever they want, but not my house. You want to do what you want? Follow Ryan's advice. Move out. Get a job. Pay your own bills. And do it while you still know everything. Okay? All right, let's pray.